invite me. It's a pleasure and an honour to be here. Now I'm going to start. I was just saying to Paul this afternoon, when I was preparing for the reading, I sort of stumbled on the idea that a number of my poems had started the journey. And the first poem I wrote, the first serious poem, or the first poem that actually came back to me in so many different ways, was Holiday in St. Petersburg. Holiday in St. Petersburg. I am the Dnieper River, welcome. I've waited for you. Come down the steps, let me expound you. I'm as deep as the Baltic. Move your banks and leaves. Spread, feel my strength, bolstered by Siberian sandstone. Come closer, admire my colour, each moment lighter than darker. Learn not deflection, but injection, all light, all shade. You neither one nor the other. Travel over me, feel your own fluidity in the swim of me. Trust me, I have been a river forever, and you are a little drop. Now, the next poem carries on to, I was on another trip to Edinburgh. My son's living in Scotland. Again, I was on the plane, and I have a habit of, if I'm reading something and the word crops up, I put it on the back of the book. And I was telling a friend who's an artist, and this is the poem for Loretta, say like a paragraph. Her mother loved to write. When I mentioned something about cochineal, she said her mother always said, say it like a paragraph. It needs so much room, as one utterance can sustain the weakest of words, bring nouns and adverbs well beyond the full stop, and turn useless adjectives into creatures of insight, not like idle words, but staying on a whim. Now, continuing in the theme of travelling, I sing in a choir and we went to Vienna. And the next poem, we're in Mozart's house. And he had a spy hole. And this is called, I've forgotten the process here. poetic license. Where did the servant sleep? There was a little thing on the wall. It was a question, where did the servant sleep? And actually, coming back on this name, that we had just written back down. A little question on the wall in Mozart's house in Vienna keeps answering back to me as they trundle up from the basement, carrying hot food for the guests. Looking through the spy hole, I can see them flinch on the high notes as the glass goblets collide, spilling champagne up their sleeves. And perhaps when the day is over, they could collapse under the skylight above the sewer. Another poem last year, when anyone goes to hear it, Leonard Cohen, I showed up from the Lisbon House, and it actually was a highlight of my life. This is Leonard Cohen at Lisbon House, Sunday the 1st of August 2010. We stopped at Dunkliff to pay our respects and noticed how close he requested his resting place to the door of the church. Then out to Lisbon, bumper to bumper, to the big field, parking alongside his landing. A walk through the evening with trees brought us to the front door, and all the fans sunbathing outside. Up in our seats, we surveyed all of the barriers between Ben Goldman and the shore. Then he appeared, a pin of a stripe on his well-made suit. I was back in the attic at home, and my father roaring, turn the damn thing down. At twilight, he welcomed us home and told us he loved each one. I believed him and went home, silently weeping, glory, hallelujah. My poems are quite short. The next collection stays like a paragraph. And really, you know, and these are a selection of new poems. They're not for the next collection, but they're just new poems for 2010. The snow in the lane. I wish I'd taken a photograph of the snow in the lane. Not striving to recall, taking Christmas down, gathering up the cards, putting the crib away. How this year, despite the frozen pipe, in St. Paul's Cathedral, another trip out in London. After hours sightseeing, evensong was about to begin, with the light from those famous tangerine arms together to burst, as another translation through the magnificent. Off to Shangri-La. My father was a farmer, and he used to call the farm Shangri-La. And his face was for going off to Shangri-La, and it's only now as an adult I realise the privilege of being given, you know, the opportunity of going to Shangri-La. On the outskirts of Singers, in the back of the green caravan, always in summer, out of my mother's hair, my father would say, we're off to Shangri-La, to the cows, calves and hay sheds, and the fields that were all ours, in forget-me-nots and cowslips. I'm a bit of a gardener, and my dad used to grow gladioli, and of course I planted some bulbs. I had no idea why filling out the order form for the gladioli that fell from the newspaper, how those bulbs would arrive fully grown in straight lines, spaced according to colour, carefully selected, made into a bouquet, thrust into my waiting heart like the one who passed away. This spring I planted you know the stuff that you get in the florist, it's the white flower with the tiny, you know, you see it, it was a tiny little flower growing late. In early spring I planted some white tisopia seeds, like black pepper specks, it seeds into the compost. Now it's the other side of the window, sailing towards the sky, with a giant bumblebee ravishing each picture. Flying lessons. I live in Dad's beautiful now, and I noticed swallows intrigue me, and I discovered that they fly low when they're small because their lungs aren't, you know, their lungs aren't developed. Down the mound, the swallows run away in the air, practicing between the trees, listening to the leaves. Outside Notre Dame, they enthrall a young child while the photographer extends a cube of bread, trying to catch the bird. That's the last of the section. In King House Boy, this was a play about Dean Swift and Stella. The corn crake can be heard, sculptured in amongst the bulrushes. Respond to the bells of St. Patrick's Cathedral as the knight looks on the dean. He's introducing Stella, adjusting her portrait on the mantelpiece. So we're nearly eye to eye, telling of their first meeting, how her exuberance equally enthralled all company. Later on, his love to her, he sits wide eyed facing us, as his brief dipped quill scratches it all down. Now, as I'm down in Cork, I was saying to Paul, I'm going to visit my sister. I have three sisters in Cork, two are away at the moment. One lives in Skull, outside Skull, with her four children. And I used to take my children to Cork and call married for a week. I followed the beach at Glandore, past the holiday home my parents rented out, to Rock Harbour beyond the Galley Head, down to the red strand to the day the first came. Sank into the sand, found the rock, set up the windbreaker, deck chairs, pool box, buckles and spades, football, books and towers, took off our clothes, splashed in the sea, made sandcastles, dug a hole, and I sat married for a week, beyond the foam and puff, you nailed on the red strand between the foam and sea. I used to see, anybody ever remember Pat Kenny on the Outside Shop? I portray my age now.
No.
The Outside Shop, I listened to Pat Kenny. We rented an old farmhouse the first 3 years on Saturday afternoon. I think red for a week. Hang my smalls in the back of the chair to dry. Listen to the radio with Pat Kenny on the Outside Track. Dance round the range with my swollen belly, still swelling in an absence I can't hold. My son's nearly six foot grown. Keep a bag of their baby clothes. And on that note, I'm going to. I have a few poems written to my two sons. And the first one is When They Come Home. And, you know, like usual, When They Come Home, the poem speaks for itself. The house is full of them, my sons. Inside, the front door, their shoes jammed. I'm tripping over laptops, toothpaste on the toilet seat, shaving cream blocking the sink, cereal stuck to the couch on every cup in use. The fridge looks empty and the freezer door left open. The washing powder spilt on every light switch on. A mansion of dirty clothes. I don't care. The house put home and waiting for the phone. My editor is in New York, and a phone call from Peter. My father was born in New York, and my mother, he came back to Ireland when he was six, and my mother worked in Macy's. And I drove to visit him, and he took me to Macy's and took a picture outside. This one we can relate to that, but a phone call from Peter. From the top of the Empire State Building, I swung around to say, Mum, this is great. And that passion reached down the line through the spike of reverse charges to lift me beside him with Macy's department store, where my mother once worked just in view, down to Central Park where my father played as a child. Also, he found a long sold after photo book unavailable over here. 2 months without seeing him, I so cleared the line between us. He remembered what I'd been looking for. And for my other son, not to be outdone, the duvet for, he often says that you never write about me, so this is the duvet. It came to a time when he went to college, he needed a double duvet. Enough said. The duvet for Robbie. It was a present from my mother, saved us from the housekeeping, to us really well. The best quality duck down, covered in sky blue cotton. It fitted our early ones, until he couldn't bear the heat and demanded blankets and sheets. The duvet was thrown to the back of the hallway. On the Monday, I had a spare, the damp in his bedroom, perspiring all over with him love. The duvet leaves lamp were thrown in the back seat. I asked him to be careful, and watched him shaking it out at the scale of some old dream might just lift the floor. Now, in this section, to have one for Peter's 25th birthday. And it's funny, I wrote this poem, and it was on the Oxford calendar 207, and it was nearly a poem I threw away. I was actually doing a workshop that morning, and I came down, and the kitchen was full of light, and I sat and looked down and set the light on. Peter's 25th birthday. Coming downstairs this morning, the first impression, he'd forgotten to turn off the light last night. No, it's the sun he left on from inside himself. Now, I come from a large family, and my mother, this poem, I have one brother, and he's a foreman club feet, and this poem is in honor of my mother's courage, strength. In, out, let go, 100 times each foot. I can hear my mother's voice at the edge of my brother's bed as she cracks his scalpel's club feet through the fingers. A child, I listened in the bedroom next door. That mantra in perseverance sank into my marrow, incubated until now. This is to my sister Claire, who unfortunately has schizophrenia. Angel sister. Sitting opposite you in the mental hospital, cages of grief that breaks the angel who made me for Christmas. In a shattered high, after all these years, still incarcerated, loving play in your own image and likeness. And that follows with unknown relatives. I have three uncles, my mother's three small little baby brothers, and the custom in Ireland was children who weren't baptised, weren't allowed to be buried in sacred ground. This is called unknown relatives. Up in the field, the weathered stuff of stone moulded the unknown remains of all the unbaptised, buried at night, not fit for daylight. And the last one in this section is full circle. And when my parents were 25 years married, Sister Breed and I bought them a set of things, patterns, and that, you know, cookery, and that was the sacred thing in our house. You know, whenever I went to visit my father, the knives were taken out. Full circle. The tap trips beat time to the second hand of the kitchen clock. Each release of water volleys its salute to the time of the full house, when there was never enough space at the first table. Now I can choose my own, always opposite him, with the good cutlery Green and I bought for the 25th wedding anniversary. I always dreaded the space, and now my own turn has come. I marvel at his courage and hope someone trickles down. The last section sort of reads together, and I started it up and down in the carry, and I had no idea when I was starting where it would come to finish, so I just read it as a section. Is that my time?
Yeah.
Is that okay? That stretch of conifer, beyond the lake at Annamacarrick, through the white gates to those Sunday afternoons when my father would take us up to the deep fern in the green foreground, out of my mother's hair, to listen to the trees searching for sleep in the dark. Lysicles was the name on my father's head of notepaper, a place from long ago he carried up to Dublin. Today I'm taken back, like an exile outside the village, taking all the changes, the wall along the graveyard, inside his brother's grave, all polished pink marble. My father removes his cap and leaves her decorative rosary. Further in his father's headstone was chosen by the deceased, inscribed the way he wanted years before he died. And the grass still growing. Pat came to see me off from his house in Lysicull, where four generations had lived. Our great-grandfather, working out of the bottom day, got sick and could have died under the tree. Ever since there's been a hush about a fairy tree, almost as if it's round the other side. Pat planted up the bough and left the fairy tree content, and warned the children to leave it alone. It stands in the field, dug and drained by his dad and mine, almost the last time ago. Arm in arm, along the talca in Botanic Garden, my father and I strolled. The sun bursts through and blends him into itself. Now this is a human that is on the middle of this lot. It's called Out Loud. Johnny's let all the sausage rolls fall. Woman behind the counter tells the whole shop. I don't know whether to laugh out loud or just take the picture. Now, the Botanic Garden there, part of what I do every time I go up to Dublin to visit my dad. We take a trip to the bus, mostly around lunchtime, and I recognise the space I went to school in, dishing out the sports. As we stroll towards the bathhouse, past the fountain, watching the children, struggling for our turn, the little fish hide under a lily pad as our daisy chain falling. Past the vegetable garden, my mother wheels the newest arrival, while us older ones lag behind. My father reminds us, it's his farming mirror that keeps the cabbage green, like Uncle Martin did before him. Down by the river, my children play hide and seek, waiting for their grandfather to catch up. Beside my mother's grave, I can see the tallest tree, and from her bedroom window, the wall that separates the box. And when anyone takes a random down, she usually walks them off. Back from the hospital. The door outside is accidentally double locked. My father runs into the garden and cuts a bit of greenery and surgically into the letterbox, direct stem on top of the lever, releasing it off. I keep that knowledge to myself till death locks me out. Table and green. At the kitchen table, my father dictates the opening prayer for the closing hymn. Hey, Holy Queen, for his funeral. He was told last week one of the texts positive, the urgent, Keep it to yourself for now. I take today's mom, praying for deliverance, is taken in for verbal test. At lunchtime, the phone rings. There's been a mistake. The tests read negative now. The doctor says it's 3 of 1. I return to Langton and can hardly find a gratitude under the settlement request we finish the table with. Last supper. He opens the bag of sprouts and cuts the base of each vegetable in the way his mother and wife had always done. Leaving the outer leaves intact, he places them in the water, one for each daughter. Normally he'd never take out a roast on a Monday, but that Monday he could have known about out picking time and peeling potatoes, checking the meat. He was finishing his preparation. A big something can't be ignored. It won't stick. I only know I can't swallow. In the gap. Beside my dad before his gloves, a corridor of dust, sweet attention to the dirty toilet drawer beside the disinfectant. The nurse draws slowly, the dentist is equally discreet, their careful efficiency, making it obvious it's his heart of flow. We're up in the garden before I go. He's bent over the wall, picking rhubarb from the cold frame with the twine between his teeth. For the consultant. I help loosen over your head the shirt and the vest. Half stripped, I cover you with all I possess. Robbie wraps the letter sleeves his grandfather picked from the tea towel, carefully packs them in the bottom of the fridge like a celebrant for the consecration of before the feast. In the front room, lying on the couch on the wall above me, 5 generations of that. My parents dressed for an IFA dance. Down in his common, my mother's looking me up in a potato field. Our recently bereaved father holds a new American who enters the night shoot table. In the corner, a favourite cousin jumps the fence. Below, I'm nervous before poetry reading. My father in New York sits on my grandmother's knee. Close by, my mother is taking the same position years before they meet. And in the middle, my great-grandmother's picture of the Assumption hangs above her bed. His last suit. I'm standing on a chair in my father's bedroom, searching in the back of the press for tissues, pajamas, anything he might need in hospital. I come across half a dozen new shirts, 3 peaked caps, a box of cotton temperature, and right in the back, in a box, a brown Hamilton sandwich, his last food. He's losing weight. My father's losing weight. He says he won't see Christmas if he keeps going at this rate. But he's hanging on to a diet that's restricted, no fruit or much fluid, to sleeping, sitting up, to constantly clearing his arms, to taking his drugs of diarrhea, to being afraid to open the window in case he catches death. This is the day. Just remember the royal wedding, you know, Prince William and Captain John Rutter composed a new piece of music, This is the Day. He had such resonance for me. This is the day. I watch my father look around the kitchen at this same time. The back door is locked, the hot water bottle empty, and all the scraps of everything recycled appropriately. I carefully load him into my car. At the hospital, he needs a wheelchair, and in the lift for us, with pajamas on, of a major good star. Looking in the locker. In the drawer of the locker beside the bed, I search for the €20 he set aside, especially for John's birthday. Not being able to take my hand in, I open the door below and see a plastic napkin on the shelf. I'm getting used to the idea I could put a toenail and just baby powder on his feet. Father's Day, don't go, not just yet. even your weakened heart beats stronger than any other sand on this earth. Pour into ice. Up in the barns in Bethlehem, I'm sitting on my father's bed. As my brother walks in, we're back in the green and red Ford lorry, rattling along Church Street. The sun's heating the most canopy lines. Past Christ Church, the double mountains, wavering to view as we turn to view the steering in that garden. I watch the cannons all flow and turn table and the mist pour into ice cream. And to the last poem, there's only love. I came to the edge of a grave, watching my father lower down, trying to struggle with the thought, it could be too late if he ever needed to go. Now he's sat, pulling a chair right up close to the roof, fixing the pillow, smoothing the sheet, settling me down into his forever.